listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
Hour number two of Miller and Moulton on this Thursday. Thanks so much for being with us, the Florida Sports Network, coming at you from St. Louis. Joe Buck and ESPN trying to look something different, called the MegaCast in conjunction with Peyton Manning's Omaha Productions. Going to try to do golf just a little bit differently, actually a lot differently. So it's an alternative broadcast. We'll see if people like it. Like, it's my understanding, Mark, that Omaha Productions is not part of the Michael K. A-Rod alternative baseball broadcast. That's something that ESPN is just trying to do on their own.
Omaha!
Sorry, when I hear it, I feel like I have to yell it.
I understand. I do. I mean, you know, we're at a PBS station in St. Louis. They put the set together yesterday. There's a golf cart on it. All right. Not as nice as, you know, the folks at, you know, Southwest Florida golf carts. I got to admit, and their stuff's a lot nicer, but, you know, there's a real golf cart on the set. They got one of those small little putting areas. Michael Collins has his golf bag, which says America's Caddy on it. It's kind of funny. So most people don't know Buck's like pretty much a scratch golfer.
Here's my question, because you're doing it at a PBS studio. Will you have to stop at any point during the MegaCast and do any fundraising?
No, but we'll say Michael Collins doing Sesame Street impressions yesterday during rehearsals was outstanding. If we can get him to go back down that road today, I have a feeling the critics will be talking about it.
Well, I don't tell the listeners, not the critics, are talking, David, because earlier in the show, you and I got into a discussion during the break of what is an A, what is a B, and what is a C.
Right.
You contend that an 80 is a C.
It's not a B.
Well, actually, it is in a lot of parts of the world.
Well, that says a lot.
This person says D's get degrees. Thank you very much for that. And then two that are on your side, 90 to 90, 93 to 100 was an A, which means that an 80 in his world was a C. This person says, when I started school, 80 was a C. I'm 41, and this was in Ohio. Goes on to say, listen to the show every morning. So does the whole crew. So thanks to the whole crew for listening. But I have it up as my own personal poll question. I put one up on the Florida Sports Network account as well, but I did throw up, if you score an 80 on a test, what grade is that? Right now, 69% of you say that that is a B. 31% say that it is a C.
I say put it up. Let's double down. Put it on the Florida Sports Network. It'll get more votes than Tiger in the damn PGA. It will. And this is Tiger. Tiger never loses a poll to anyone or anything. But if you go non-sports, Mark, that's where the votes lie.
Well, we also have a Tiger poll question up. And that is just how he's going to do in the PGA. Win, top 10, make cut, miss cut.
I don't think he top 10s it, but I think he top 20s it. I could see second page of the leaderboard for Tiger, second or third page. I could.
Hey,
I mean, if he finished like 40-something at Augusta, I could see cutting that sucker in half at the PGA.
And I probably could have gone top 20, but top 10 is a little more fun. I think he'll be right around the top 10 number based on all the reports of how he's hitting the ball, his attitude towards how he's hitting the ball. He thinks he's feeling pretty well.
Yeah, he gave the indication that it's just a matter of, hey, it's going to hurt. I'm going to hurt for the rest of my life. That's just the way it is. So it's just a pain thing.
And his pain tolerance is obviously better than most golfers. He did play a U.S. Open on a broken leg.
He did.
Yep. Bryson's bailing out because his wrist isn't 100%.
Now, let's take it easy. Your wrist is a pretty significant injury for a golfer. I actually think it's smart, particularly the way he plays. You know, he doesn't play at 85%. I think he's trying to hit it too hard as it is. So...
Twitch chat room, by the way, has your back on this. 80 is a C. The Twitter poll has my back that the 80 is a B. I'm just saying that my Catholic school was a lot easier than I really ever imagined.
Do you think it's because you were paying and they wanted to keep parents who were paying happy so that their kids were coming home with better grades, therefore they were happier? They were thinking that their kids were getting, look at the good education that they're getting, and look, Johnny's getting all B's.
I got to double check because I went to a public school for one semester. The three Catholic schools combined, my dad was not into it, so I went to a public school for a semester, and I could have sworn when I was at that public school, 80 was a B. So I think that's a Saginaw County thing more than anywhere else. I mean, come on, it's Michigan. We had to give a lot of breaks to people.
I don't know about that, but okay. This isn't a tax break to try to get business to downtown Detroit. I mean, this is just a matter of what's an A, what's a B. I do think we get into the whole pluses and minuses discussion, though. That one, to me, is outstanding. So what's the line of demarcation? Like, so to you, is 80 the line of demarcation? That's a B minus. 79's a C plus?
Correct. I'm just telling you, that's like 6 to 9 was a plus, 1 to 3 was a minus. That's how our grades worked.
Okay.
Don't know what to tell you. 90 to 93 was, or 0 to 3 was a minus.
Okay.
4 to 6 was the grade, 7 to 0 was a plus on the other side.
Oh, wow, a plus. You could get an A plus. I mean, you know, for as much
had a couple of those in algebra, as a matter of fact. Went down as a 4.3 on my grade point. Thought it was fantastic when I was a younger kid.
Just for as much as our generation and those that are older than us, and for those that don't know, Mark's 52, I'm 56. For as much as we make fun of, well, let's just give out participation trophies to everybody.
Are you comparing my B minus to a participation trophy?
No, the A plus, I always, give me a break. All right, it's an A. Okay, that's like giving 110%. You can't. You can only give 100%. All right, if you're saying I gave it 110%, you're actually saying this time I gave it everything I had. Come to think about it, last time I gave it about 91%.
By the way, it's along the same lines of the, well, let me be honest with you. Really, as opposed to lying to me the rest of the time?
Correct.
I've tried to ban myself from saying that. And believe it or not, it's when you make the conscious effort to do that, you don't realize how many times you say, well, to be honest with you, because I was lying to you the other 14 times that I spoke to you.
And I think a lot of us say, to be honest with you, it's really translated, well, I'm actually going to divulge and give you more than what I would normally give you. I mean, I tell you the truth normally, but, you know, I give you just enough to get by. Now, I'm actually going to reveal a little something, something. That's how I take when somebody says, including me, when, you know, we say, well, to be honest with you, it's kind of like, you know, I don't normally answer this question, but, you know, this time I will. To be honest with you, no. You know, that sort of deal. I do love all these grading scales that we're getting, though.
Yeah, the grade debate has gone into full force here on the Twitch chat room and in the text line as well.
So 90 was an A.
It was an A minus, but yes, gotcha. 90 was an A.
Hmm. All right.
And you didn't get, like, you know, if an A was a 4 point in your world, you did not get a 4.0 for a 90. You got like a 3.67 or something, 3.7. I don't exactly remember, but you didn't get the full, you know, caveat of getting the A.
Right.
Hence the A minus.
Listen, I can justify the pluses and minuses. I mean, I'm not that much of a grade snob. I really can't.
You certainly are starting to sound like one.
No, I get it. I do.
I mean, your mom worked you over, the working in the schools there, as a school nurse.
Man, oh, man.
No pluses and minuses in her world.
The only parent I knew that showed up at parent-teacher conference night, looked at the teacher and said, listen, I know you're right. You just tell me what I need to do when I get home to beat them. All right. I know he's a problem. Meanwhile, I've got nothing but A's and B's. And my mom's sitting down at the teacher going, I know he's a handful. What do I need to do? What are you talking about? I got A's. But, Mark, let's face it. You and I both got the same report card. At the bottom, we could get an A and still get an unsatisfactory. Why? Talks too much.
That's why we do a show together. Pretty much nails it right there. They didn't really, you know, and to think about it, David, the counselors never could have told us you need to go into talk radio because it wasn't a medium when we were meeting with counselors back then. The job that we walked into that was built for us our entire life wasn't a job during any of our school time.
That's why all those vice principals and guidance counselors looked at us the way they did, because they're like, listen, you guys got skills, just none of them exist in the real world.
Salesman, that's what yours should do. Sales.
Yeah. Did you ever think vacuum cleaners? You guys would be pretty good at those. Go down to your local Woolworths and apply.
Go knock on some doors. Do the door-to-door stuff.
Right. Sell packaged meat out of the back of your car. I did that for a couple months. Let me tell you, that's hard. That's hard. And that was then. I mean, now we don't open the doors for anybody. But, I mean, that was when you didn't mind when somebody knocked on your door. You'd actually chat them up a little bit, but still. So what are you selling me? Meat.
You know, that really is another poll question in and of itself. Do you answer the door when someone knocks at it?
Oh, my goodness. My wife is like that comedian, Maniscalco. She hides underneath the couch, grabs the sword, and then says to me, you check them out. See who's there. Okay, if it's someone friendly, do you want me to open it? No. Well, then why am I checking it out?
Miller and Moulton, a reminder, our golf tournament is June the 11th. More witty repartee at that. It'll be at the West Bay Club. Go to floridasportsnetwork.com to sign up. floridasportsnetwork.com. Would love to see this thing get sold out sooner than later. We had a few more foursomes added yesterday, hoping for a few more today. Join us, West Bay, on June the 11th, brought to you by Southwest Florida Golf Carts, Twin Peaks, and Budweiser.
And we'll be selling meat out of the back of a van on the first tee. No?
We could.
I'll tell you what.
Or we just be giving out hot dogs.
Knowing the crew that's signing up, if we allowed them to bring all the stuff they're selling, okay, we'd have a hell of a putting green.
Miller and Moulton, we thank you for listening. Back with more in a moment right here on the Florida Sports Network.
You're listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network.
Thanks so much for being with us. 21 minutes past the hour. Miller and Moulton, the Florida Sports Network. We're going to be on in three states?
Three states, David.
What the heck? Obviously, we're part of the Florida Sports Network, floridasportsnetwork.com. We're in four markets. We're told Daytona's just, you know, getting their act together, working on the tower, but apparently we've already got a deal with a station in Daytona. That'll make five. So, you know, we're growing this thing slowly but surely. But the people who own the Florida Sports Network own the Michigan Sports Network. And they got a monster of an afternoon show. It's on like, you know, 134 stations. But the morning show's on like six. And apparently the guy's taking next week off. So instead of making the Felipe of that morning show come up with, you know, four or five best ofs, they said, hey, I got an idea. Why don't we run those two Yahoos in Florida? How much harm could they do? And our answer was, well, how many sponsors can you lose? That's how much harm we could do. We're gifted.
But they're also not only on six stations in Michigan, but they're on one in Toledo, Ohio. So we're going to be on in Michigan, Ohio, and Florida next week.
This is ridiculous. I'm apparently going to be on ESPN and ESPN2 the next 2 days. I kept looking at Joe saying, are you sure about this?
You need to go shopping today.
I can't. I'm wearing what he's telling me to wear.
Are you going all FGCU?
He told me. I said, Joe, I've got 10 or 12 bucks. I really do. I can buy whatever you want. I go, here's a crazy idea, by the way. The four-letter network could ship a few 2X shirts to the studio. I could just wear them. I go, hell, I'll wear the same one for 4 days. We won't tell anybody. Whatever. He's like, nope. I want you to wear your FGCU golf shirts. So obviously there's a joke at my expense coming at some point.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
At least one. And I just don't know if it's coming from Buck or Aikman, who apparently is making an appearance on the show.
So how often are we going to see you?
Well, apparently I'm on the set. Like, not, you know, Joe and Michael Collins, they got the two chairs in the middle. But apparently just off to the right side of the screen, there's a desk and a chair. And at one point, I literally asked the executive producer and said, who's that for? And he looked at me and said, you?
Now I've got to watch.
And I'm like, are you sure?
Would have been great if they would have put a smaller table and a smaller chair like you were at the kids' table behind there.
Right. That's what I'm expecting. But once again, back to school. All right. And the desk, which is attached to the chair, that's what I expected. You know, to kind of shimmy in, and at my age and size, by the way, I don't know if I could get in one of those. And if I got in, I really don't know if I could get out. I might just have to stand up and take the chair with me. They've got a big screen behind me. Apparently, they're going to superimpose the golf course, and they're going to, you know, like, do work on the chalkboard there. And I'm going to have to get out of the way. And the guy said to me, can you quickly get up and out of the way? And Mark, you would have been proud of me. Only you and I know the reference. But I looked right at him and I said, you've never seen me chase down a foul ball, have you?
Did he at least laugh?
He did, not knowing what the hell I'm talking about, but yes. I don't know if you do it to people. There are times where I say lines to people just for your benefit. Like somehow, some way, you're going to know the joke I'm telling.
No, so where are you going to go out on occasion now, knowing that they don't have a clue what I'm talking about? So a desk and a chair, you're moving on up in the world. I mean, they have no idea what they're getting into with this.
I still don't, I'm not joking when I say this part. I still don't really know what I'm doing. I don't just mean in general. I mean specifically with this show. I think they want to keep the serious golf talk to a minimum between Joe, Michael, and their guests. So like all the stuff that I would hand Joe during a normal golf broadcast, I don't think Joe wants to be bothered with any of that. So I think there may be times during the broadcast in which they'll almost be like, hey, Moulton, who won the 82 PGA when it was here? That was Ray Floyd, Joe. Thanks. You know, I don't know. I think that's what my role's going to be. A poor man's, you know, Stanford Steve, Bear, Stump the Schwab
thing. I know. We all know what Buck and Aikman got paid. So you saying poor man's anything doesn't apply to you anymore. You know, you could be rich guy's aide. I don't care what it is, but poor man's whatever doesn't work, because once Joe and Troy made their move to the mouse, there's nothing poor man's anything about any part of their broadcast, whether you're on it or not, sir.
Well, here's the funny thing. My wife did say to me last night, hey, because, you know, I mean, the hotel's on my credit card, the plane's on my credit card, you know, all the expenses here, you know, they're just credit card, credit card, credit card. And my wife just very calmly says, how much are you getting paid for this gig? And I had to tell her the truth. I said, honey, I have no idea. She's like, wait, what? And I'm like, yeah, I Joe said, hey, I need you. And will you come out and do this? And I went, sure. And she's like, wait a minute. That's how you guys operate? I'm like, honey, I don't know what to tell you. We're men. Draw your own conclusions. At right. some point, I know the expenses are going to be taken care of.
Right, and I don't
we'll
know.
We'll work out the details later, right, Mark?
Right. I don't know anything about his family life. I don't know what his last four jobs were, nor do I care. What did we talk about? We talked about sports.
Yeah. Seems like a nice guy. Yep. She goes, so at the end of the phone call, she goes, I love you. Just one question. You really don't know what you're getting paid? I go, no, I have no idea. Hasn't been discussed. She goes, well, don't you have a contract? I go, no.
Contract? Well, what, are you kidding me?
Didn't you have to fill out some forms? No. So, I mean, at some point, I'm sure it'll even out.
Who knew that working for basically a major network for a major production was an under-the-table job? Nicely done, David. Only you can pull this off.
I'm pretty sure they're not aware. But that's how we roll, I guess.
They're having their golf tournament. We're having ours. It's June 11th at West Bay. Go to floridasportsnetwork.com, floridasportsnetwork.com for your everything you need, the signups. It is going to be June 11th at West Bay. Want to thank the folks at Budweiser, Twin Peaks, and Southwest Florida Golf Carts for their participation in this tournament. Hope to see you out there at West Bay on June the 11th.
For those asking what channels, you're not going to believe this. Channels you've actually heard of before. It's 1 to 5 today and tomorrow, this mega cast that Buck and Michael Collins are doing, the first hour of which, 1 to 2, is on ESPN. The 2 to 5 part gets switched over to ESPN2. So that's today and tomorrow. And then they do it 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. on the weekends. First hour on ESPN. Next three get moved to plus for those that are interested.
David's taking Victor Hovland. I am taking Jordan Spieth for the tournament this week. Tiger tees off at 9:11 this morning. You'll be able to catch his last 3-4 holes of the tournament when they join the tournament on ESPN. Miller and Moulton, Florida Sports Network.
You're listening to Miller and Moulton. Exclusively on the Florida Sports Network.
22 minutes before the hour, Miller and Moulton, the Florida Sports Network. Bud Elliott at the top of the hour. Mark Lai, 1 hour from now. The PGA about ready to get underway. Pretty much, I think, at the top of the hour. And then in our 9 o'clock hour, David Dwork, who covers the Panthers, has a Panthers blog. Season could be on borrowed time here. They don't win tonight. One of the South Florida teams needs to win tonight, and it's not the Miami Heat.
I could argue they both need to win tonight. I know the Heat are the one seed, and they can get this done, and they can win a road game. But I think 1-1 Heat could end up 3-1 Boston really quickly.
So are you willing to say that the winners tonight in the two series on the East Coast are going to win the respective series?
I'm willing to say it in basketball. I'm not so sure, even if Florida wins tonight, that they're going to win the series. They'll lose the series if they don't beat Tampa tonight. That I would guarantee you. But I don't think winning for the Florida Panthers does anything more than extend this series and gives them a great shot. I picked the Lightning, but I'm reserved about that pick in the series because I think the Florida Panthers are a better team. They just don't have the better goaltender. But in basketball, if Boston wins tonight, I think Boston wins the series. If Miami wins tonight, I think Miami wins the series. I think this game is everything. Felipe, I know you're giant Mr. Heat guy, and if I try to say anything derogatory about the Heat, what was great is yesterday, I think before the show, during one of the breaks, Felipe is complaining about Bam Adebayo's performance. When I brought it up on air, the first thing, well, he had three really big blocks. He can't even, I repeated what he said a day ago, and it wasn't good enough because he is so glass half full with Heat, and that's fine. He's a Heat fan. But Felipe, diehard Heat fan, everything in your world is Heat. They're the best team. They're the most important team. They lose tonight. How confident are you they can win this series?
Well, they'd have to obviously steal a game in Boston, but I think if they would steal a game, I think that game would be game six.
Wow.
So, yes, I'm still confident.
That, and that would be down, in that case, you're down 3-1.
Oh, 3-2, yeah.
Well.
Right. But, yes, down 3-1, have to stay alive, right.
And win three straight, which would be remarkable if the Heat were to. And that's what I don't think they can do. That's exactly why I think tonight's so important, because I think Boston holds serve at home. If it's 2-2, Miami just has to take care of business in their own barn. That's fine. But I picked Boston in six because I think that Boston gets tonight's game. They're two at home, and we'll close it out in six.
I took Boston in six as well because I thought it would leave Miami 1-1. And I think they will leave Miami 1-1. I think Boston gets it done tonight. I don't see a, what was it, 22-2 run for the Heat in the game tonight. I don't see a quarter in which Jimmy Butler outscores the entire Celtics team. I don't. I will say this, though. If Tyler Hero is going to play the way he did in game one, the Heat are going to win this series. They needed somebody else. They needed somebody else also who could hit some perimeter shots. Everything, I don't believe they can win this series entirely driving it into the paint, going to the rim. They're going to have to hit some threes. Butler bailed them out in game one. Hero said, I'm here if you need me.
Well, the Heat, they move the ball a lot. So a lot of driving kicks. The Strus was not as loose as he usually is. But when the Strus is loose, it's tough to beat the Heat.
But you'll admit, Felipe, they're a very streaky team from beyond the arc. The numbers over the course of the season are good. But they can have a game like Milwaukee had in game seven where they were 4-for-33.
Correct. They had back-to-back of those games in the Philly series.
Right. And that's, you know, over the course of 82 games in 6 months, it can average itself out, the whole deal. You get a week and a half, 2 week long series, that can send you home.
Also, I'm not too concerned about our perimeter shooting because for some reason, Eric Spoelstra has decided not to play the best three-point shooter in the NBA. Well, not the best three-point shooter, but top five.
Well, they shot 30% from outside three-point range in game one. And that's with Hero, right. That's with Hero going 1-of-5 and Butler going 0-of-2. So, it's they actually, you know, Vincent was good. Strauss was good. Or Strus was good, whatever. Those three-point numbers are acceptable.
Right, but yes. I was referring to the fact that Robinson has not played.
No, I've got you. But Hero's the one that they, you're right. And Hero's the one they've decided upon to be their three-point guy. And he had a great game without a good game from three-point range.
And I don't know if we're going to see Duncan Robinson much except in garbage time the rest of the playoffs, because when everybody was pounding the table saying, why is he not playing against Philly? Well, Spoelstra gave him a decent run in one of the games, which they won going away. But Duncan Robinson couldn't put the ball in the ocean that day. And I think Spoelstra kind of looked around at everybody like, you don't mind if I coach this team the rest of the way, do you? So whatever's going on, he's out of the rotation.
Right. But it really is just a testament of their depth. They're probably the deepest team in the NBA.
I don't disagree with that. I don't. Don't know if they'll get Boston 100% at all in this series. And the Heat are not 100% also because they don't have Lowry. But.
And where they're going to need Lowry is in Boston.
Yes.
Because we've seen this, that the secondary players, it doesn't matter what series it is, don't shoot as well behind the arc on the road. I don't care what team it is. We've seen that with every team. It's a very obvious statement to make. But so far, it's held true. And that's where I think Lowry would be a big factor. Games 3, 4, and 6 in Boston, when you're going to need a second score for Butler, when you're going to need someone. And that's where maybe it's Oladipo, you know, on the road, that they're going to get some scoring out of him as well. Because you're right, they're very deep. And Oladipo, I think, will be a part of this if they're going to win games in Boston.
Celtics are 4-2 on the road in the playoffs. Terrific road team. I think they have the best record in the league after Christmas. So can the Heat beat them twice in a row at home? How many people have beaten Boston twice in a row? In fact, Milwaukee couldn't. Did they win four? No, Boston won game four.
Well, there was a closeout game, so they had to have two in a row somewhere, didn't they?
Milwaukee
was Boston, up 3-2.
Well, Boston won the two in a row. I'm saying teams beating Boston two in a row. I'm trying to think, because Milwaukee won game one and game three. And then they won game five.
Okay.
So the Milwaukee-Boston series was very much the Lightning Leaf series, in which the Celtics win 6 and 7, much like the Lightning won 6 and 7. And here are the Lightning, who were facing elimination a week ago, and now here they are up 1-0 on the Panthers.
I may put a third poll question up with just who you got tonight. Because I think game two between the Heat and the Celtics is the series. I think the series is tonight.
By the way,
I'm convinced of it.
It is so close to determine who is better right now between Tatum or Butler. They're right at the same level.
Butler's done it a little longer, and he's done it on the bigger stage longer, but Tatum's much younger.
I mean, Tatum was thrown into the fire right out the gates of his career.
I understand. Has he been to a finals?
No.
Has he taken a team to a finals? Listen, these two teams, I think, were separated by one game in the standings over 6 months. I would be very surprised if there's much separation in this series at all. It's why I think Boston wins tonight. I really do. I thought Boston got a bad break. They had to come back and play on Tuesday. I thought the NBA kind of gave them a little, you know, hey, how about a little something for the effort here? No?
Hey, look, if they both can win a rock fight, but don't you think the lower the score in game two, it benefits the Heat more? I think the more defensive game two is, the more it benefits the Heat. That I could be wrong with that, but I actually think if this is a rock fight, it gives the Heat a better chance tonight.
It would benefit the Heat even more if they had Lowry, because he controls the pace of the game so well. They call him QB1.
And right now the word is he's not going to play. Meanwhile, Mark, can the Panthers win a game if they don't score a power play goal?
I don't think so. I really don't. I think that the biggest difference in this series is going to be special teams. And if Florida doesn't figure it out tonight, then they're going to be golfing with Toronto pretty soon.
Game one, 4-1. Lightning at 3 power play goals. Panthers at 0. Also, Lightning had twice as many chances on the power play. Once again, Florida, stay out of the box. Come on now. These guys are really good. They can beat you 5-on-5, and not many teams can. But you can't play them 4-on-5.
Well, and Burnett's got to come up with something, because there was a clear coaching advantage for John Cooper, everybody thought, in the series. Burnett's a guy that is thought of being a power play guy. He was a great power play player when he played junior hockey. He was, in fact, line mates with a guy that I'm pretty good friends with. They had about 120 goals between the two of them in junior 1 year. He knows how to play on the power play. They've got to figure out something, do something differently, and they actually weren't getting the puck in the zone all that easily. I mean, the power play's got to be, even if it doesn't score, sometimes a 2 minutes of a lot of action can be just enough. They weren't even getting that, David. They weren't even getting good power plays. It's one thing to not score when you're moving the puck around getting shots. It's another to not get offensive possession, to not be able to get quality shots and not get chances, and that's where I think the Panthers were, David.
hockey teams and players, Mark, I believe in momentum more than maybe any other sport. They believe that you can, like you said, have a good power play. You didn't score, but you kept it in the zone. You made them work. You got a bunch of good chances, and that leads to good shifts to follow. I could sit here and argue with you one shouldn't have anything to do with the other. But hockey teams believe it. They believe if you put 8, 10, 12 good minutes of a forecheck together and this, that, and the other thing, it's going to lead to a goal. When one bounce of the puck and one great pass could easily lead to a breakaway the other way and a goal, they don't think that way. That hockey teams think about, you know, you're building momentum with each shift. And you're right. There was nothing in game one in which the Panthers, even though they scored early, they were not building momentum as the game went on.
Hey, and the other thing, it sounds silly, but you watched it last night. Did you see the fans in Calgary, Alberta? Did you see the fevered pitch at which that game started? The Florida crowd is not doing anything to help the Florida Panthers out. When the game shifts over, when the series shifts to Tampa, trust me, the Lightning crowd have something to do with the game. They get it. They're hockey fans. The Florida hockey fan is not. They're there because it's the second round of playoffs against Tampa. And I know that's cliche and sounds stupid, but as much as the momentum thing, you say players buy into that too.
And also, let's be brutally honest. The Panthers think they can win. The Lightning know they can win. The Lightning are winning. They beat them last year. They're up 1-0 this year. And they won game one in a somewhat similar fashion. Game one last year was much higher scoring, more frenetic. But what was the difference in game one last year? Panthers took too many penalties. Lightning made them pay with late third period goals. What happened in game one? Panthers took too many penalties. Lightning made them pay on the power play late.
So big, big game twos tonight in the Sunshine State. One in hockey, one in basketball. I think the basketball will determine the series winner. The hockey could determine the series winner if somehow Tampa is able to go steal two in Sunrise.
I think it's going to be a long basketball series, even if the Heat go up 2-0. Because I also don't think it matters if it's 3-1. Like, I think Boston down 3-1 can come back and at least force a game seven. I really do. I don't know that home court is huge in this series. I think both teams are built to win on the road. They're good defensively. They've got elite players. Miller and Moulton. Bud Elliott at the top of the hour to talk about the state of college sports.